Welcome to our fourth guest expert call for the Money Matrix Magic Marathon. And what I would, who I have here today is Dr. Lorna Meinweiser, an energy psychology expert. And she's going to be speaking on how to clear your path to success, transform yourself through energy psychology. And just let me tell you a little bit about Lorna. She received her PhD in psychology from Saybrook University, and she was first introduced to energy psychology in 1991 and has been studying it ever since. She was invited to become one of the Charter Healing Codes coaches in 2003. Since then, she has been involved in the training of Healing Codes practitioners, as well as helping to create the Heart's Issue Finder, and has just finished completing the Success Issues Finder, which she will tell us more about today. She also uses the Emotional Freedom Techniques and Matrix Reimprinting to help clients and groups uncover their blocks to success and to create new, healthier success beliefs. Her clients report that she helps them find and remove blocks and make major shifts in their lives. Dr. Alex Lloyd, founder of the Healing and Success Codes, calls her the best of the best. Lorna is a lifelong learner and is interested in research in energy psychology as well as the practice of it. She's an active member of the Association for Comprehensive Energy Psychology Research Team and is involved in a research project with the American Veterans with Post-Traumatic Stress. So welcome, Lorna.
Thank you, Katie. I'm delighted to be here. Thank
I'm
you for
so
the lovely introduction.
Mm-hmm. And Lorna and I met actually quite a few years ago on an energy course, and I happened to be buddies with her, and I really was lucky because I was just starting out in energy coaching, although I had trained and was certified as a regular coach, but energy coaching was something quite new for me. And I got her as a buddy in this course, and this
was
amazing because she was so experienced and knew what she was doing, and I was a little embarrassed because I thought I was just new, and I was, at the point where I wasn't exactly in mastery stage. But she's always very down to earth and humble, and so I didn't feel too bad for too long. I could help a little bit with my other coaching experience, even though it was
you've certainly
energy.
Done that for me.
Yeah, thank you.
Your creativity coaching, especially.
And one thing about Lauren, I mean, I've actually, whenever I get really stuck, I'll go to her and she'll give me a code to do with the healing codes and work with me. And I was trying to remember all the issues. I've gone to her for a lot of issues. And one of them that's just coming to mind, and it's maybe not even the most important one at all, but it does make a difference because I love to travel. But I always used to get into an incredible tizzy before traveling, and emotionally just was really on edge and very nervous and not a very happy camper, and it wasn't so nice for my family whenever I was about to leave on vacation or on a travel trip for business or something like that. And she helped me clear that, you know, with one session, and since then it's just been a hell of a lot easier to travel and not worry about it.
I don't even remember what the underlying issue was, but we found it pretty quickly and were able to, use the code. That's the beauty of the code, is that it helps get to the underlying beliefs, memories, energy that does get in our way.
Exactly. And I'm trying to remember what the underlying issue was now. I know I had an underlying issue because I moved to England from from Canada, and there was something around that. But you can see that the charge is gone because I can't remember why it was so upsetting. I have to go look back. But anyway, lots of other stuff. I've actually found the Healing Codes really has helped me with my allergies. That's where I first used it. And I almost don't have allergies anymore, a little tiny bit to mold. And I mean, I'm not totally sure with cats. I haven't lived with them for days. But now I go into a place where there are cats, and I don't sneeze like crazy after 20 minutes. So okay. Healing Codes is wonderful and cures much greater issues. In fact, Lorna, you've worked with people with cancer, with all kinds of issues, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I've been real fortunate. There's been just all kinds of things happen with the Healing Codes where people have had terrific successes. And it's, you know, not 100% of the time. And sometimes people aren't ready to address the deeper issues, and so they may not follow through, they may not continue with it, but what I found is that people who use it and are ready to clear things out, it's very powerful.
Yes, and I don't know if you'll mind sharing this. You once told me that your husband called you a miracle worker. So I think that's not altogether untrue.
Well, he went from rolling his eyes and thinking I was really way out on a limb to now when people ask him what I do, that's what he tells them. I'm a miracle worker. So it's not that I share, you know, details about my clients, but sometimes I just have to share the outcomes that people have that are so spectacular.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's totally true. And I think what you're saying, and we'll get into this more later, is that that sometimes immediately you have quick success and the person does what they need, you know, that will continue with the clearings and get rid of the issues or release the issues. And other times there's some resistance there and they may not follow through. Or I found when I've done this work, occasionally I've hit a really deep nerve and it's been very effective, but they just don't want to go further for that at that time, and one has to totally respect that right of theirs, and you know, hopefully later they will clear it because it will make a big difference in their lives. So, but it is as with everything, a question of choice, and I think, yeah, it is a question of choice when you do it, and sometimes people are just not quite at the stage to choose to leave certain things behind, which they may have become very identified with. So, Lorna, before we get into the whole meat of the call, what led you to be interested in energy psychology and to work in this area in the first place?
Well, I had a fear of heights for close to 40 years, and ever since I was tiny. And I lived in Florida at the time, and so heights wasn't a big problem. And so I would occasionally go someplace, and my husband would want to be at the top of the Forest Tower or the top of the tallest building or whatever. And I wouldn't participate. And then I had the opportunity to go to Colorado, to the mountains in Colorado, for a conference, and I was in my master's program, and I had learned about systematic desensitization, where you kind of feel the fear and do it anyway. And so we went to this place in Colorado Springs called Seven Falls, and it's 200 or 300 or so steps, open steps, up the side of a mountain, and there are seven waterfalls. It's quite beautiful in the pictures, and I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm a big girl. I'm in my master's program. I can do this. I really want to do this. I am just going to get up there to the top. I'm going to feel the fear and do it anyway. And I got at about 30 steps, and I had a panic attack. I froze, and I could not lift my foot up one more step. I couldn't go any further. And only panic attack I've ever had. So I sent my husband on up. I thought, well, they're going to have to get a crane to bring me down. And I finally got down by sitting down on my behind like a little kid and bouncing down the steps that way. And I just figured, well, that's it. I'm just never going to be able to get over my fear of heights. Well, the next day, this is a self-esteem conference that I went to. The next day, Jack Canfield, who is one of the primary speakers, and a lot of people are familiar with him with the chicken soup and his success stuff that he does now, at that time he was very involved in self-esteem. And so he was speaking on self-esteem, but he said, I just learned this thing. I got to share it with you. He asked, how many people have a fear or a phobia? And there was about 300 teachers, counselors, principals. And this was an education conference. And most people raised their hand. So he said, well, think about, you know, this fear or phobia. So I'm thinking about what happened to me the day before. And he says, and tap under your eyes 35 times. And everybody's kind of rolling their eyes and looking at each other. And so I'm thinking about it and tapping. And then he said, so see if you, when you think about it, you still have that fear or phobia. And he said, and if you do have anything left, tap on the side of your hand and say, even though I have this fear of whatever, I love and accept myself. And I'm like, I don't think I've ever said I love and accept myself in my life. I'm not even sure if I do. Much less tapping on my hand and saying this out loud. So anyway, I did it, you know, and then we all sat down and went on to other things. And so my husband, who loved to go high places, still does, without gallivanting around in the mountains of Colorado up by Keystone and Aspen and that area. So I said, you know, take me someplace high. Maybe my fear of heights is gone. Well, he had been with me the day before, and he's like, how could that be? So he did. He took me out to the Continental Divide, which is where he'd been all day. And sure enough, the fear of heights was totally gone. I mean, I could look over the edge. I could walk along the edge carefully. I wasn't stupid, but it was totally gone. And so that raised the question in me that I've been pursuing ever since is, how did that happen? Why did it happen? Why did I have, I mean, and it wasn't like I just never went anyplace. I would try and try. I'd try to go up the Forest Tower. I'd have anxiety at a place where there were open steps coming down, you know, that I'd have to hold on to the rail. And I think I may have fallen downstairs as a kid. We lived in houses with stairs, so there's a possibility that happens. But other than that, I didn't know why I had this, and I didn't know why it wouldn't go away, and then led to I didn't know why it was gone. But it was gone, never to return. And one of the really cool things about energy psychology techniques is that often they generalize. So not only was my fear of heights gone, it was quite easy then for any fear of flying that I had that had to do with heights, that was gone too. And interestingly enough, my husband had always wanted to be a private pilot, and I was able to let him then get his pilot's license. And so I would go up in a little airplane with him, and eventually he bought a little ultralight airplane, and I was able to go up in that with him too. Wow. So that's what kind of started me down that road, and I finished my master's degree, and in 1995 I decided to go for a PhD, and that was one of the questions is, what's this all about? The Bill Moyers special had come out on healing in the mind, and they had stuff about Qigong and acupuncture and imagery and all that. It was just, to me, it was like, this is so foreign and so interesting, and what's it all about? So it's really been kind of the driving question, and it's still a question I ask, and still, you know, you have a question here for later about the research, and I'm involved in the research because I want to know why, and I want to know how, and I don't know yet.
Such an interesting story. I actually have known
you
quite a while and never knew that was why you got involved in energy psychology. And it also brought up a memory of mine, one of the first things you worked on for me, actually. And I just realized I must have done the course just before I was being certified as a coach rather than after. Mm-hmm. And you actually helped me. I was really nervous about the exam, you know, even though I knew I could coach
that.
And everything. There was an oral exam where we would be coaching two really high-level coaches, and we were given, I think, oh God, less than 15 minutes each, in fact, that you had to get to the essence of the issue and make a difference. And we were going to be marked on that, and we could, you know, easily fail if we flubbed. Mm-hmm. So you did, I think, some EFT and healing codes, and I actually did really well. I wasn't nervous. I probably should do this more often for other things, come to think of it. And, like, the coaching was really good. It was better than some coaching things that I'd done where there was no pressure at all. It just seemed to really flow. So that's another example of where energy psychology can help and where Lerna, in this case, really helped me. So,
well, I'm glad. And you know, one of the things I've done is it's after that experience, I just thought it worked on, you know, fear of heights or phobias. And I didn't do much with it other than when somebody had a fear that, and they would share it. You know, they would go someplace and they were like, I can't go to the edge. And I'd say, here, tap under your eyes. Like, obnoxious here. But you know, I could help people really quickly. And then I started teaching and at the college, and then people had test anxiety. So I'm like, okay. You know, this is a traditional college, and I'm teaching psychology, but this is ridiculous that they can't do well on the test or in presentations because they have so much anxiety. So I just started teaching it there, and actually have done some research with another psychologist on using it for test anxiety. And it's just, you know, it's the loop, the energy loop that the body-mind gets into. And body, mind, spirit, if you look at spirit, energy and spirit as the same or similar, it's like it gets stuck in this loop, and the trigger is, oh, I've got an exam, and it spins and spins and spins. And the energy psychology intervenes. I heard Jack Canfield say the other day, I was watching something he's doing, and he said, you know, if you've ever watched those programs on TV where they fill up an auditorium with dominoes, you know, those little black things with dots that kids play with, and they line them all up, and so that once you hit the first domino, they all fall down in a row, and it makes this beautiful picture. He said, well, if you take somewhere along the line, you take out four of those dominoes, the first group goes down and nothing else happens. And so the energy problem is like that automatic, oh, I have a test, I'm not going to do well, they're going to grade me, you know, all the mind talk keeps going and going and going. You take out those four dominoes, you hit the block, and it's gone. It has no power anymore.
So actually, this is a great time for me to ask the question, because I think it's an important one to start out with, is what is energy psychology?
Energy psychology is kind of a branch of energy medicine, and energy medicine is just like psychology is a branch of medicine. And energy medicine is based on the idea that it's not even a theory anymore. We all accept it, is that everything is energy. Everything is energy. And energy flows, and is supposed to flow and vibrate, and it can get stuck. And so energy medicine believes, and energy psychology as well, that there are electromagnetic, and now the research is showing, yes, this is true, electromagnetic energy and other what they call subtle energies that are supposed to flow. They're supposed to be balanced. They're supposed to be in harmony. And when we're unhealthy, or when in energy medicine, or when we're unhappy, which is where we usually come in with energy psychology, that the imbalances in the system that show up can be treated with tapping, with moving the energy, there's a whole bunch. I mean, under energy medicine, it's Reiki and healing touch and therapeutic touch and quantum touch, you know, things that are working in the energy field, also called the biofield or the aura. And then there's the on the body with tapping, like EFT and meridian therapies. And then there's also the chakra-based, which when I first was exposed to this and I started learning it, I'd read something and people were, you know, it's all about the chakras, it's all about the chakras. And then I'd read something else and it'd say, it's all about the meridians. And I'm like, how could it be so different? You know, this camp is chakras, this camp meridian. And what I finally realized when I discovered Donna Eden is that it's all part of a very elegant system where the energies in our field, our biofield, our energies out there, and then we have our personal energy field, and we bring in the energy in through our chakras into our system in our body, which includes the meridians. And I was on a quite interesting and very erudite presentation on Saturday that's going to be free on YouTube, and I'll give you the link to it once I get it. Where they've actually now been able to show pictures of the meridians. I mean, they actually now can show pictures of the meridians, not drawings, not hypothetical, but where they actually exist. So the meridians are the transporters of energy through the body, and many of the forms of energy psychology work with the blocks, either in the chakras or in the meridians, where the energy isn't flowing, and using the tapping. And it's a tapping, but it's also intention. And I think intention is a really big part of it. So it's the intention to release, the intention to heal, the intention to change, and then doing something along with it that helps people make changes. Let me get my notes here and see if I forgot anything that has to do with energy. Oh, I like this quote. It's energy psychology. David Feinstein, who's one of the big names in energy psychology and energy psychology research, he's Donna Eden's husband. He says, energy psychology applies principles and techniques for working with the body's physical energies to facilitate desired changes in emotions, thought, and behavior.
Excellent.
So, yeah. So, and the thing is like with healing codes and other energy techniques that address the health piece, the research is showing how much stress affects our body, our health, and the energy techniques affect the parts of our body involved in stress and help reduce the stress. I wrote an article. It's on my Healing Codes website. I wrote it, I think it's 2008, so it's, 5 years ago now? Wow. And in it, I interviewed some of my Healing Codes clients, and I asked what the outcomes were for them. And it was interesting how it fell out. Three of the people who I interviewed, one had gotten the Healing Codes because of a physical issue, one because of an emotional issue, and one because of a spiritual issue. So it worked out really well that I was able to interview them about that. But one of the things they all said is how the healing codes really helped them find peace in their lives.
Oh.
And one of the people wrote an additional little article, Tammy Coyne, and it's on there, and she's a spiritual minister. And she said for her it was the quote from the Bible of the peace that goes beyond understanding. And so, I think that's it. And when you're in that state of peace, as you all know, you can be more creative. You can be more successful. You can be more free.
And I find with the healing codes, more so than some of the other energy techniques that I try, which are all really helpful and useful, but for some reason, with the healing codes, I actually... like within a minute or two, I get into a pretty profound state of peace, and like almost meditative state, which I have a great deal of trouble getting into normally. You know, I could sit for 20 minutes in a meditation room and not go that deep and be terribly distracted, but somehow the healing codes, by centering on those particular healing centers, seems to lead to that.
Mm-hmm. And that seems to be a big part of it. And I think that, you know, when your body's calm, the immune system can work better, and when the immune system can work better, you know, I mean, Bruce Lipton talks about how the cells are either in the closed self-protect mode, so it doesn't take in good stuff and it doesn't let the bad stuff out of the cells. And when you're in that state of peace, it's that the environment around the cells that tell the cells what to do. So when you're in a state of peace and calm or happiness or joy, the message is we're safe and the cells can be in growth mode. They can let go of the toxins. They can, you know, take in the nourishment and the healing energy. So I think that that's, maybe they should be called the peace codes. I don't know.
Well, they certainly are all of those. So what I'm wondering is what kind of research exists that shows that these methods work? I mean, we've got a lot of people who are saying they work, but you've done research. What's that showing?
Well, there's been a big question of it, and the American Psychological Association has been very, very skeptical. And in fact, in 1999, they decreed that psychologists who were going for continuing education could not receive continuing education credits for energy psychology. And so that has really put a real roadblock in the research, because a lot of research is done in institutions and in academic institutions, and so when licensed psychologists could not get credit, they're not going to research something they can't even study. So the research was kind of slow initially, but then the Association for Comprehensive Energy Psychology about 6 or 7 years ago said, yeah, we really have to figure out what's going on and why these things work, how these things work. And there were some very brave people who, you know, did not have funding, just decided to do this on their own. Here, Harvey Baker was one. He passed away a couple of years ago, but he did some research on EFT and fears and phobias. And then Dawson Church, and a lot of people probably heard of him, he's been a very big supporter of EFT research and now EFT training as well. And so he helped to fund some research and has been involved in a lot of research. But the research has mostly been you have to ask first, does it work? And you've got to prove somehow it works before you can really get into how does it work. And with the skeptics out there saying, well, it works too fast. I mean, how could anybody lose a fear of heights in 5 minutes? Everybody knows that it takes months and months and months and months of, you know, repeated exposure.
If ever,
yeah. And to be gone in 5 minutes, it must not have really been that bad. But speaking from the inside, knowing what it was like, you know, that for me is like, okay, there's something, I know something's going on. And then as I started working with people, I'm like, something's going on. So anyway, the most recent thing that's happened is that over the last 4 or 5 years, there's been a lot more research. And David Feinstein, who's a brave soul, he's married to Donna Eden, Donna Eden is the kind of the doyen of energy medicine. She's fantastic. If anybody's not read her book, Energy Medicine and Energy Medicine for Women, they are incredible. But anyway, she was asked to write that book. And David had been a mostly traditional psychologist for many years. And she asked him if he would help her write the book, take a year's leave of absence from his practice and help her write this book on energy medicine. And he was kind of like, well, I don't know what you do. He's so funny when he talked about it. It's so straight-faced and very proper, very academic, and this little wry sense of humor. But anyway, he says, I knew she must have been doing something good because she was bringing in money. And so he decided that he would do that, and they wrote the book, and then they had to go on tour, and people would come up to him and say, well, do you know about energy psychology? You're a psychologist. And he'd say, well, no. And then somebody did some demonstration with I think it was a fear of heights. I don't remember for sure. And he was, oh, no, I guess it was the woman had a, it was claustrophobic. And somebody did energy, the tapping with her, and then put her in a closet, and the lady just didn't come out of the closet, and they're like, what's going on? And finally she said, oh, this is so much fun to just have peace and quiet in the closet. And before that, she couldn't even get in an elevator. Or, so he said, whoa, boy, there's something going on there. So he never went back to his traditional practice, and he spent the last, I guess, 20 years now in teaching it and researching it and writing up the research. So I'm going to get distracted there, I'm sorry. But he just recently published, and I'm blocking on where, he recently published an article that was published in an APA, American Psychological Association journal, which is the creme de la creme. You have to have the peer-reviewed journals in order for it to be real. But he got it published, and there's over 50 research studies that show that it works. So finally, last, I think it was December, the American Psychological Association said, well, now maybe we will let you get continuing education. So it's just gradually spreading. People who go through the comprehensive energy psychology, they training there, they can get APA credit. And so I think what's going to happen, we're going to have this explosion of research, because now, like I heard somebody say the other day on the Tapping World Summit, I think it was Cheryl Richardson, said she did this tapping all the time, but she just didn't talk about it much. And now she's out of the closet. And didn't Susan say that last night too, that the secret helped all of us that have been doing this weird stuff come out of the closet?
Exactly. Yeah, and it's so part of the mainstream now. And that's very, very heartening to listen to hear that.
Yeah, it is. And so I think the research has shown that it works. I mean, most of the research has been on EFT, because Dawson's an EFT person, and he's the one kind of spearheading it. Some of the research has been on the precursor to EFT, which is TFT, and there's just incredible stuff coming out of Rwanda, where they're going in and working with the orphans of the genocide, and 10, 12 years later, these orphans are still highly strung out with PTSD, nightmares, an inability to concentrate and all that. And just several rounds, several hours perhaps, I'm not sure exactly how much, of the tapping for trauma, and they're sleeping through the night, and they're the PTSD scores are down. So that's where the focus of the research has been recently, some test anxiety research. It's been people like me that are not researchers, that are clinicians who are interested and want to get it out there and are willing to do the research. And I think I've told you this, I know it's not Healing Codes, but I would like to do the same research with Healing Codes. I'm involved in a research study through Dawson Church's Soul Medicine Institute, where veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder get 6 free sessions of EFT to reduce the PTSD or the stress. And the other people, the research that's now being published, that this is a replication study, they got fantastic results. And so I said, well, all right, I'll do it. And so I'm now on my 4th veteran start. I started last week with the 4th veteran. 2 have finished. 1 tomorrow is his last session. Incredible drops in PTSD scores, sleeping through nights. What I'm finishing up with tomorrow, he said last week his wife said to say thank you, because now he's not thrashing around in bed, and he's sleeping, and it's been 20 years since he's been out in the service.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
great. It's so heartwarming to be able to help people experience the world differently.
Yeah, and we used to think that it wouldn't be, like these things were just almost irreversible. And yet, through the healing codes and through EFT and other things, and they are reversible.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I mean, the only thing I would wish is that this, in this world, we wouldn't be creating those things so often.
Oh, absolutely.
Sending
absolutely.
People off to war and recreating, you know, these horrible conditions for the energy techniques to heal, but still.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot
well, that's
of
why I resisted it. It's like I'm not a veteran. Nobody in my family's veterans. I'm, you know, really pacifist. But when people started telling me about the things that were happening to the people who, and I started meeting people who, you know, really believe that they're doing a service for the country in being in the service, and then the kinds of things that happen to them, especially, and there's starting to be some more research in it for women in the service, the military sexual trauma is mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
So, So, I mean, that's the heavy-duty stuff.
The culture there.
Yeah. I mean, it works on that. And part of the research is to show if you can work on something like PTSD that nothing else is working on,
mm-hmm.
then you can work on anything. As the Ortners will say, try it on. That came from Gary Craig. Try it on anything.
Yes, and that actually gets us perfectly into our main topic for today, which is. About money and success and how energy psychology methods can not only heal, you know, profound issues of, of trauma, but fears of height and other ones like that, but can bring about more money and success. So tell me a little bit more about your experience with this, Lorna.
Well, you know, I think that, again, I listened to Susan's call last night, and she talked about the beliefs and how so many of the beliefs are unconscious. And in my experience, the beliefs come out of experiences that people had early on, or the societal, cultural messages that we pick up, and that those get implanted pretty deep. And she said 6 years, that's what, you know, Bruce Lipton says, first 6 or 7 years, kids are taking it all in. And but even, you know, bigger than the there's trauma, like your parents lost everything or they were always poor, whatever. Just the messages from our cultures, the messages from our churches, you know, that the one I heard, I don't know how awful, too, that I remember from childhood, money doesn't grow on trees, which is such a stupid thing to say. You know, it's like, well, if it did, I'd go out and pick it, right? And money is the root of all evil. Well, you know, if you have a belief resonating conscious and unconscious that money is the root of all evil, why would you want to have money? If you want to be a good person.
Yeah, I totally agree with you because that's been a big one with me. I mean, if you were brought up in the Christian faith and or Catholic, that's mm-hmm. a fairly prevalent thing from that faith, isn't it?
It is. It is. And, you know, and the money doesn't go on trees. I mean, my parents were very, money was difficult to come by much of the time, and there were even some really bad times where we would move to escape the creditors. So I grew up with that kind of, you know, money doesn't grow on trees. You know, you can't have what you want because there's not enough money. And so that energy level resonates. That's a familiar, I think that's a big key, is that it's familiar. It's our reality. It's true. And, you know, as we keep resonating that, then it continues to be true. And we find the, I don't mean to repeat what Susan said, but you know, this is my belief too, is that we recognize the experiences that confirm what we already believe, or we have to change. And change is, you know, we have to go out of our comfort zone in order to change. And I think that's where the healing codes, success codes help, because when you're in that state of peace, rather than being in fear, you can go out of your comfort zone easier, more easily.
I never thought of that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and even with the EFT, with some of the EFT research, one of the things they're finding is that the tapping points, the acupoints where you tap and where you use acupuncture needles, is that there's more serotonin there. They're like little pockets of serotonin. And so when you're spreading serotonin, serotonin is a feel-good chemical, hormone, neurotransmitter, whatever it is. And so when you're tapping and you're bringing that feel-good chemical and bathing the brain and the body with, I'm safe, it's okay to feel good, and you've brought up this, oh, my parents went bankrupt when I was 7, and then they, you know, had to do this, and then they did this, and then they did that, and you're pairing it with, but you're safe. It makes it much harder to put that memory away as the fear memory that it was.
That's a great explanation of how it works. I'm wondering if tapping is almost as good as chocolate for getting the hormones.
I think it's probably better.
I do love chocolate. So that's interesting. Are there, actually, just on that, are all the points that you tap on, will they do that? Or are there particular points that are more effective for the serotonin production?
I don't know the answer to that. I think that all the points, well, there's something about the electromagnetic conductivity at those points, and there's also something about the serotonin. That isn't research that I've really looked at. This biofield conference that was on Saturday, they were talking about that and how that all works, and it was just like mind-boggling. I think in 5 years, this is just going to be all accepted knowledge, and it just can't be. One of the guys, right. Thornton Streeter, who's the organizer at the conference, was in India. The co-leader was in Germany, and the assistant was in England, and there were people all over the world, and now anybody can watch it on YouTube, and it was all free.
Oh, so you actually, if you could give the
As soon as it comes, as soon as I get the YouTube link, I'll send it to you, and you can send it out.
Oh, wonderful, because that sounds fascinating. And actually, what really strikes me, I mean, there's a bit of competition sometimes between the different fields and, you know, I'm better than you type of thing. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, practitioners who will only practice one kind of healing. And yet many different modalities are happening now and being developed, and they're all pretty wonderful. And maybe, I mean, I'm not sure why some work better with some people, or some people go to, you know, basically go towards certain types of healing. But one thing I like about you, Lorna, is that you're always very open to learning more, and that's something I love too. I'm always interested in finding out, well, what other thing works.
Mm-hmm. Well, I one of my early things, early on, 1990, I was trained in the Myers-Briggs type indicator and personality types, and I did a whole lot with that. In fact, my PhD dissertation has a big, big chunk of that, and that talks about different personality styles, that there are 16 different personality styles, and a part of that whole research is and practice is that there are 4 basic temperament types, and what I'm finding is parallels between those temperament types and Donna Eden's energy types that she talks about. And so I think that there's at least 4, but, you know, at least maybe as many as 16 different ways in which we experience the world. And there's, you know, even within that, there are degrees of difference. And so that what's comfortable for me and my personality may not be comfortable for you and your personality. So to apply, I know there are other people who don't agree with this. You know, there are some people who just do healing codes. There are some healing codes coaches that only do healing codes. That's the only modality they believe in. That's all they do, and they're quite good at it. And I for me, it's like, okay, maybe the healing code in with this client or in this instance, but I had somebody on the phone earlier this morning, and we did some traditional coaching for a little bit, and we did some EFT, a couple rounds of EFT, and then I gave her a healing code to work on during the week. So even for the same person, for the same issue, it's a multifaceted, so to speak.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and I find I've seen the, you know, very much the same. I'll alternate things. And actually, I got really hung up on the healing codes being so good that I started dismissing the EFT. And then, and I was just using the EFT basically to get out some of the issues, because you'd suggested that, I think, at one point, that could be used. So I was just tapping and getting out the issues and not even testing. And then but just testing at the end of the session after the healing codes. And then one time I just I tested it on after the EFT part. And it was almost all gone. So I still did the healing codes, but that kind of showed me, hey, even if you feel like you've got something that's really effective with the healing codes, the other ones can always help. And you know, EFT has been proved as very effective. It was just
right.
At a certain point, I found with EFT, it didn't always, for some reason, the healing codes worked better with me for some really deep issues, and maybe I don't know whether it was the way I used it or what happened, but.
Well, and the four major, what Alex calls healing centers, are although they are in some ways overlaid with like the brow and the Adam's apple are, you know, very close to the throat and third eye chakra, and the temples and jaws are close to or on meridian acupoints. What Alex says, and we don't have the technology yet to prove this, but what Alex believes is that that was the gift he was given, is the information about these healing centers, that these are centers that transmute the energy very quickly. And I'm not trained in Donna Eden's whole system of the 9 different energy systems. I've read a lot of it, but I haven't taken the training. But one of the ones she talks about is what she calls the radiant circuits. And the radiant circuits are places on the energy grid that's around the body where information travels at quantum speed. And I think that's what happens with the code. So it may be that these are like high-powered nodules on the radiant grid that send that information deep into the cells to make this shift, so that even though you're pointing your fingers at your temples, but you're thinking about the pain in your knee when you set your intention that this is what you're going to work on, that the information, the memory, the whatever that's associated with that is getting that energy and healing it. But yeah, I'm not sure exactly how I would research that, unless I had really high-powered MRIs.
But that's a very interesting way of looking at it. And, why don't we just go into, like, you've been specialized in using the healing codes and success codes as well as EFT. Can you just tell us rather quickly about how the healing and success, about the healing and success codes and how they were developed? And I know there's a lot of
story there. And Alex's story is out there, the Healing Codes book, and the Healing Codes tells a lot about how his belief is that it's a gift from God to help him cure his wife Tracy's quite severe depression. And so he's gone on, and he's a very prayerful person. All of this information has been received through prayer for him. And the healing codes, I think 2001, 2002 was when he really first started using it. And then started training coaches in 2003. And then I think it was 2006. He had a lot of people asking, can you use the healing codes for success? Or is there any different process with that? So he then created the success codes, which has the same basic four healing centers. The process itself is a little different, and it's kind of hard to differentiate between, unless you know, spend more time talking about what the healing codes is, what the success codes is. But a big thing about the success codes is that you have a code, and you know, I can share that code, the part of it, the what we call the block breaker code, that really helps loosen up, get you to loosen up, release the blocks, both known and unknown. And so it's still this 12 days that the healing codes, you know, forgiveness, harmful actions, joy, peace, love, all of those. But it's doing it based on how those things are impacting your success. And for example, like the first code in the healing codes is unforgiveness, and the success code is forgiveness, which is, you know, around the same thing. And how that would affect money is that, in my life, where it's affected is that there was a period of time in our life that we got into a partnership, and a financial partnership, and due to circumstances certainly beyond our control, one of the partners took over the company and forced the other partners out, and it was financially disastrous, and it was a really difficult time. And so if I hold on to unforgiveness towards this person, which I did for a very long time, and you know, thought about and talked about, you know, what a rotten person he was, and all of that, that's going to block my being able to be fully successful at any endeavor that involves working with somebody else. Because that lack of trust, that lack of forgiveness.
Yeah.
So using the block breaker to release those, and I do know that, you know, that happened a very long time ago, but there were replications of similar that reinforced you can't trust people. They're all out for themselves.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that doesn't really serve me. And it doesn't really, you know, bring a lot of attraction at a high financial level. So I'm using the block breaker to let go of that. And I think that, you know, when we're, you know, looking at money as one area of success, the healing codes is looking at success in relationships, in, you know, your academic or intellectual area, your family, your social, the whole rounded picture of success. But money is certainly a part of that. And so, another one, the belief, you know, money can't buy me love. So if that resonates for me, you know, it's that old song, money can't buy you love. And I'm happy in my relationship. Does that mean I can't have money too? So breaking the bonds between these old beliefs and being able to live an authentic, full life, I think is really critical.
And so would you be able to give a very brief demonstration of the success code?
Sure. So let me set it up for you. So I'll just give these centers. We do have a website set up so you can go and look at it if you're listening to the call later. you know, so that if you're not quite on the center, that's not a big deal. So really just get an experience of it. But if you know of a block that you have, if you know of a belief, you know, maybe something that came up out of the call from Susan or earlier in the clearings that you've had, anybody that's on the call, if you know of something that you have, and just kind of name it, whatever it is, and just check, and this is a real condensed version, check how you feel about it. What are the feelings that come up? Is it sadness? Is it fear? Is it anger? What feelings are you having around that? And then if you can, rate those. Some people can and some people can't. You know, and zero being it doesn't bother you at all, and 10 being the worst it could possibly be, how strong are the emotions that you're having around this belief right now? And one further step that you can do, and for some people it takes longer, so you know, if you don't go there right now, that's fine, is to just ask yourself, when's the first time you remember having this belief and these constellations of emotions? So, I'm going to take for example, because I didn't realize that it was still had some resonance for me on this money can't buy me love. For me, the somehow that connection is coming up at about a 5, which is really surprising. And the emotions that I'm finding around that is some fear, which what I'm realizing is that there's an underlying corollary that you can't have love and money.
Yeah.
And since I've been happily married for 47 years, there's some part of me that believes that if I have a lot of money, I might lose my love, and that's more important. So I'm going to have to I'll go and research myself and find out where that comes from. But for right now, I just want to loosen some of that up. I mean, I think that that's not a healthy connection to have there. So what we do first is we have what we call a prayer request. So for people who don't believe in prayer, you're requesting from your system. And I'm going to use the word God because that's part of it. Even if you don't believe in God and it's universe or higher power or spirit, whatever fills in for you. So I'm just going to set the prayer intention for all of us. So I'm going to ask that the love and truth and light of God would remove all my blocks to success and create the perfect, and you kind of fill in the blank, with perfect success image. And for me, that having love and money goes together really well. That this is created and infused into my heart. So then the first position with this block breaker code, and we're going to go usually you do it for 30 seconds for each of the positions and a total of 8 minutes. So, but we're only going to go through it once. So, you know, when you're doing it later with this, you can continue to do it through for 8 minutes. So the first position is the bridge, and you point your fingers, you make your fingers together like a little, like all your fingers and thumb together. Again, this is on the Healing Codes Coach page. So if you're not familiar with these, I'm sorry. Just kind of imagine. So you're pointing your fingers at the bridge point, which is right in the center of your forehead, just above the where your eyebrows come together. And you just breathe slowly and deeply. And you focus on someone you love, something you love, a beautiful place in nature, if you want to play beautiful music in the background. And since for me this is the love, has to do with love, I would just be thinking about, you know, it is safe for me to have love. and thinking about the positive while you're doing the code. Now, if some negative memories come up, some old memories come up, you just release them. That's what this block breaker is about, is to release the old connections, the old memories that are tied to this belief. And just breathe them out. To me, they're like bubbles just bubbling to the surface, and I just let them go out with the breath. And then the second position is the Adam's apple, and the Adam's apple is the center of the throat where a man's, it usually has a protuberant Adam's apple. So again, you're pointing your fingers out about an inch and a half away from this point, and you're just kind of pointing. Imagine it's like little flashlights going into these energy centers. You're sending your own electromagnetic energy into this center. And again, breathing slowly and deeply. Letting go of any old memories, any old blocks, whatever it was that you're working on, just letting go, releasing. And letting the breath just help clear the energy out of your body. And the next position is the jaw, and it's right at the, it's, you open and close your mouth at TMJ joint under your ears, the pointing your fingers at your jaw. And sometimes I will feel the energy coming out of my fingers, and sometimes I will actually feel it going into the center. And right now, for me, the energy is really powerful going into the jaw point. And the 30 seconds is kind of a generic. If you feel like you need to stay there longer, you can. Sometimes I'll just get the signal and my clients will say, the center feels full, and I just move on. But right now, for me, my jaw point is saying it needs some more energy. So listening to the wisdom of my body. And then the last point is the temple, which is, again, as you put your fingers there right around the side of your eye, the temple, not exactly where you tap for EFT, just a little bit above that bony protrusion back by the hair. And Alex says if you trace if you were to be able to read the lines of energy going in, they go to specific parts of the brain. And I will find, as I find a code for people, that sometimes the same area, the bridge or the temples, will come up more frequently. And that often means that that's the area that just where this old memory is stored. And just take another deep breath in. And just imagine letting out any other stored up energy around this issue. And then, this is not in the healing or success codes, but I always like to do it, is to just for a moment put my hands over my heart like you do in the heart math, and just bring that healing energy into my heart area. And then you can go back in and just see what the issue is now. See what your net number is. And then gone down actually to a 2. So that's the block breaker that you use in the success codes. It's also very similar to the universal codes that's in the Healing Codes book.
Thank you, Lorna. That was wonderful. I got my issue down a couple of points, and I'm sure if I do a few more rounds, it'll go down further.
Good. And I just want to say, and I have to go, I just looked at the clock and I have to go in a couple of minutes. One of the things I'd like to offer to the people who are on the call now or listening to the call is, or listening to it later, is that if they would like to be notified when the Success Issues Finder becomes available, and to take that and then to have a free kind of success planning call, which would be 20 to 30 minutes with me, that on that page, and I think you sent out the link, the healing, it's healingcodescoach.com/Katie with a capital K .html, that there's a place there where you can see the Healing Codes positions. You can sign up for a printable copy of the positions and to see the video of the stress reliever. But also there's another sign up that I just put up today for this group where you can request to be notified when the Success Issues Finder comes out and have a free call with me.
That's wonderful. I've got it in my resource area for the group. However,
good.
Maybe if you could just send me the link, right, that would be great too, and I can put it in my letter tonight to people.
Okay.
Just before you go, Lorna, what would, and that it's a great offer she's giving you, I'd really take advantage of it. Would you just be able to say in a nutshell what the Heart Issues Finder and what the Success Issues Finder is? And
sure.
How it's useful for people to do?
Yeah, the Heart Issues Finder we created in 2007, and it is also free, and there's a link from my website to where you can go and take that, and then you get the information on it. It's based on the Healing Codes and then also now Success Issues Finder and the Success Codes, the 12 different areas. And it gives you kind of a snapshot of where you are in these. It's not a the validity and reliability like a traditional psychological test has, but it is very coded to the Healing Codes, and people will take it and then work with the codes and then take it again and see where their scores have improved and what areas they need to work on next. And Alex says that it's one of the only thing like it in the world, and that people have given him all kinds of kudos for it. He and I developed most of it, and then he asked me to do the Success Issues Finder, and he and Tom Costello have been doing the editing on that. It's not quite done. I thought it'd be done by today, but I've got some more work on it today. So it'll probably be a couple of weeks before it's ready to go. But it really kind of looks at it. Is it the beliefs in the area of love or peace or joy or humility? Are those beliefs that are operating underground and perhaps blocking your success?
Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing that come out. And thank you so much, Lorna,
for all
that you've offered. It's just fascinating. And I'm really glad that you've been able to go over some of the basis of why energy psychology works and, or, you know, the theories up to date, because it's still an area which is in full research, and also some of the current findings around energy psychology, as well as just sharing with us a practical demonstration of how to do the Success Codes. And so I guess is there anything else you would like to tell people? We've given them information about how to get hold of you, I think.
The only other thing I would say, and I'll put a link on that page too, I don't have it up yet, but I will later today, that I do also have a new website that's called MindWiser Coaching Center, because I have opened an office in downtown Concord, North Carolina, which is where I live, and I am doing workshops and individual coaching there as well. But the online website, I decided, Katie's been after me to do this for a while, I decided to write an e-book, or book actually, and I Wow. I'm giving it chapter by chapter weekly that talks about what energy coaching is and gives examples that you can use for each of the areas. So it's about a series of 8 weekly emails that will give you some information and but exercises as well for each of the areas. So, I'll put a link so you can go there, and it's another sign-up to get on that list to get that email with it. I've got week 1 and 2 up already. Week 3 goes up this week. So it's, for those of you who want to know more about The Energy Psychology, it's not a didactic book. It's some of the same things that I've said today, but then how to use it for fears and phobias, for sleep, for success. I mean, I think it's going to be quite delightful.
That's. I'm so happy you're finally doing this, Lorna. I remember I can't remember how long ago we talked about it, because this book has been in you for quite a while, and
yes,
I'm
has.
Sure it's
yes,
going
it
to be fascinating. And I'm sure going to sign up for that. And just to tell you, I mean, Lorna also does training from time to time, I think, in emotional freedom technique and, trains the trainers. So if you're somebody who is a healer who would like more training in this area, or just you don't have to be a healer, but would like to be trained in EFT or some of the other methods that Lorna uses, I can recommend no better person, really. One thing that's great is she's experimented with a lot, so you're not just having somebody who only knows her field, and that's really wonderful. So,
thank you.
At some point, you may be doing some more internet offerings that way. I think it's more
important
now.
I do hope to do some more of that. I've been getting enough people saying yes, I want it, and I know I can. And I think once the success issues finder and that stuff's out of the way, then that's on to my next creative activity.
Wonderful. And Lorna has provided a lot of resources for finding out about the techniques. As I've said on some of my classes, I think I do the techniques, but with a lot of liberty. And mm-hmm. I would suggest, and I have suggested, go to other people to really learn the techniques properly if you really want to get into it deeply. I work with my intuition and just go wherever it is, and it's very powerful. But if you want, but to learn the techniques, I would say, don't come to me. I'll give you the basics. But go
but
to
if you need the
like
experience or coaching,
so that's
go
where
to her.
Her talent is too. So that. Anything else, Lorna?
I don't think so. I really appreciate this opportunity to do this, and I'm looking forward to listening to the call.
Yes. Well, thank you once again so much.
You're so welcome.
And for anybody, if they have more questions, because we're running out of time, but if they do have questions, post it on the Facebook page, and we'll get it to Lorna, okay? So
okay.
Thank you very much then, Lorna.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Good night. Goodbye.
Bye. Hello? I don't think I'm still on the conference call, but hello? This will be interesting. I hope it's not on the recording. Let me see. I got to get that recording off.